recording. If you please open your Bibles this morning to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 47. Acts 2, 44 through 47. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Let's pray. Most glorious God and Father, I do come to you this morning. I pray for your strength, that you would empower me by your Holy Spirit. You would give me unction, Father, that I would proclaim your word and proclaim it rightly. That, Father, it would have an effect upon us this morning. Father, I pray that we would not take this merely as some intellectual teaching, but that we would see the Word of God as it truly is, a reality, a spiritual and physical reality. Father, we must learn to look into your Word as a way of life. Father, we thank you that you allow us to worship you this morning, and that in worship we are allowed to invade your word, that you may invade our hearts. And so, Father, I ask that you would lift us up, carry us along this morning, that we may receive from you, and that we, Father, may attend to it wisely, that we may attend to your word with a great eagerness, Father. We thank you, Father, for this time. It is in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Well, needless to say that over this last week, it has been quite an interesting situation that has been developing in the nation. It's unprecedented. I've been around for 54 years, and never have we ever experienced anything quite like this. To see our country as a whole, and even the very little towns that we live in, being affected so much by these things. It's like I've said many times around the house, I feel like I'm in a movie. To go into a grocery store and see all the shelves empty, to see less traffic on the roads, to hear the president on TV every day. It's a strange world. It's different. And so, in light of all the turmoil that is in the world today, and now is here, it's even reached our own doorsteps, I have chosen to step out of our series on Habakkuk and to preach on the very practical aspect of our spiritual lives. We have to realize that we do not have a mystical faith, but a faith of reality. In one true God, in our Savior Jesus Christ. And therefore our faith is displayed in reality, in the way that we live our lives, in the way that we understand the things that are going on around us. In loving our neighbor, in loving each other as God has loved us in Christ Jesus. There are many things that can be said about the times we are living in right now. And even in light of who we are in Christ Jesus. But the main thing today what we will be considering is how we, as the body of Christ, are to remain united as a body. That we are the body of Christ, regardless of what happens tomorrow, we remain one body. And so we have to consider these things, and that will be the main point of those of our topic this morning. Although there is one other thing I wish to mention. As I have tried to follow the things that have been going on this week, and I've noticed amongst many believers, those who are even in leadership, a spirit of rebelliousness and a sense of arrogance, as though we are the experts in the matters that lay before us in our culture today, as though we are the ones that have all the understandings to the financial happenings that's going on around us, as though we understand this virus. I plead ignorance. I do not understand it. None of it makes sense to me, but it doesn't have to. If we are to exhibit our Christian faith to the world around us at this time, then we must, in the same way in which Christ did, in all humility and submission, we must show ourselves as respecters of the authority at hand. Much of what we have done, and even today, reducing ourselves to one meeting, has been done out of ignorance. Because we have to trust what God is doing. And we don't always understand, just as we've seen through Habakkuk, as he uses a very evil nation to come into the nation of Israel to discipline and correct it. We too must understand that God uses these very things. This virus is not here by accident. And our economy is not crashing by accident. And you and I must remember that when it comes to the church, it is not for our demise. But it is for our building up. It is for our good. That we may, one, glorify God in this time. And that we may recognize that God is doing a work in us. And giving us an opportunity to glorify Him to the world as we handle things differently than what the world does. We must trust what God has provided for us in this world and how He has provided for us. We have to recognize that we do not place our faith in people, but we have a faith in God who provides the people for us. This includes our doctors, our politicians, the scientists, the researchers, etc. Romans 13, 1 and 2 says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment upon themselves." We may not fully understand this virus or how it has been handled, but what we do know is those who are in authority, those who God has entrusted with these tasks, having placed them there for our benefit. We have no right to ridicule what is happening. We do not understand it. But we understand God is doing it His way. And we should welcome it and listen to who God has placed over us as a country, who God has placed over us as a state and as a local city. We must listen, or we are foolish and we disobey God's ordinance. So we must be wise about what we're doing. To ignore is to ignore God's ordinances. So let us show our humility and our obedience to God in this time of trouble. Much of what will be said today, much of what we are going to talk about today, is just a reminder of things that we have been talking about for years. As we consider the times we are now living in, we must understand that now more than ever, we must draw nearer than we ever have, even in times that we are separate from one another. When we consider the way that God has designed His church, we must recognize that we need one another not only in the sense of our spiritual well-being, but also in our physical well-being. If we reflect upon the early church, we will see that they did not run from each other in times of trouble, but they became more united as the body of Christ. They saw to it nobody went without, that everyone had their physical and material needs met. We will see that during the time of the early church, in this way God made Himself known and added to His church. Also, and so today, as we consider the reality of the church, the reality of who we are in Christ Jesus, we must understand the reality of our human and earthly placement. We are aliens here, but we are here. And if God placed us here, we are not to live in isolation from one another, but to depend upon one another, now more than ever. It is easy to be very anxious, even frightened, yet God has provided us with His word. It tells us to fear not, but He's also provided us with one another as a means to take care of one another. So as we look at our text this morning, we began by just looking at the very first verse. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. When we read this passage, it is very easy to look at it and say, well, they were sitting next to each other. They were in the same room. But it's greater than that. They were together in heart and spirit. They had all things in common. Their lives intertangled with one another at all times and all ways, regardless to whether they were coming together to break bread or whether they were in their homes or on a journey. They were together. And they had all things in common, to the very point that they would sell their possessions and goods and divide them among all, as anyone had need. We do not know what tomorrow holds. We can look at what's happening in the world around us, and we can see many people losing their jobs, many people getting sick, struggling, being anxious, being fearful of the world around us. And yet as a church, we must come together to see to it that nobody in this congregation goes without. To see to it that every need is supplied. I am not talking about whether or not you have a gallon of milk in your refrigerator, though that is part of it. No one should go hungry during this time. No one should go without. I've been very encouraged to see what's been going on with band. Everyone trying to look out for one another and saying, I'm going to this, I found this. And we're looking because it's weird. You can't just go to the store and get it. It's not there. And so we have got to see ourselves here. This is a wonderful time, guys. Because for the first time in my lifetime, we are in the same place that the early church was. In truly depending upon one another. If we just look at the changes that have happened over the past week, 2 weeks, every day is a new world. Every day changes. Every day we don't know what's going to happen. Can you imagine if you were living in New York City right now? I said that it feels like we're in a movie. Can you imagine what they feel like? Have you seen the pictures? The streets are empty. Empty in New York City. California highways have no cars on them. It is like we have entered the zombie apocalypse. And so, if we see this on the outskirts, what are we to do? How are we to live? That's really the question this morning. And we live as the church lives. We cannot be fearful. Remember this. Fear is the way of the world. Fear is a sense that we are afraid of judgment. Maybe even in this world. We're afraid we're going to catch the disease. We're afraid we're going to end up in financial ruin. There is no room for fear. Because we are loved. We are loved by the one true God. A love that goes beyond anything that we can measure. Because we have a love given to us that was paid for by the very blood and death of the Son of God. So fear not. Fear not, my little sheep. For our shepherd will take care of us. We have no room for fear, but we must be wise. There's no room for stupidity either. Many of things I've seen online even has been rebellion. Oh, I don't think this is a real virus. I don't think this is just made up. That's stupid. And that's arrogance. It's just arrogance. If I could understand all of these things, if you could understand all of these things, and some of these pastors that are spouting off arrogance, then why are they not working for the CDC? Because they evidently know these things better than we do. They know them better than they do. Why were they not elected to office to run this country? How many of them really think they could sit in that Oval Office today and handle any of this? This week is probably one of the most stressful weeks I have ever had. And here's the congregation I'm dealing with. Can you imagine? I couldn't imagine if I had the responsibility of the whole nation. Criticism from the media, the criticism from the people of this country, the criticism from Christians is out of line. especially from us Christians. We have no idea what they are going through in Washington. We have no idea what they're going through in the governor's office. We have no idea what the city council in Dewey, Oklahoma is going through. They are doing everything they can do to protect you and me. And we know they're not going to do everything right. We know that because we don't do everything right. But praise be to God, we have very clear descriptions of how we as a body of Christ are to live. And so we are to live in this unity. We are to live in such a way that we let nobody go without. Not only are we to be giving and more giving now than we've ever been, more selfless now than we've ever thought, but we also must be more humble in receiving. Do not sit in this room today and say, well, I don't need anything. Oh, yeah, you do. You need your brothers and your sisters. Because if you think you're getting through this without any anxiety, if you think you're getting through this without any fear, then you are a much stronger man than me. You're a much stronger person. Well, you're a perfect man. We're all experiencing new things. And so we need each other. And this is the time, right here, right now, that we need to be so united, so bound together. We are our support. Right here. And we're missing some people today. We have some people not here today because they are united with us. Because they're being wise on not being here today, because they've been around someone that might have had a fever. They're not necessarily feeling the best, even though it may not have anything to do with the virus. So we have some people here, not here today, that are not here because they love us. Wisdom. God does not tell us that our faith is stupid, but that our faith is wise. And so when we look at this passage, we recognize that there's a continuing daily. Regardless to whether we are in the midst of one another, we must continue daily in one accord. We must eat our food, whether we're together or apart, with gladness and simplicity of heart. And praising God and having faith. In the early church, as they lived this way, they praised God. Now, we have to remember that in the early church, it wasn't always that they had favor with the people. But this never changed. Even in their times of persecution, even in their times of being placed in jail, they always... Consider the fact that if someone was... If you understand how it was in the day... That if someone was arrested and they were put in prison, it's not like our prison system today. They didn't have cable TV. They didn't have a weight room. They didn't have a cafeteria where they could get just about anything they wanted to eat. If they were to survive, their family and friends had to provide their food, their clothing. Everything they needed had to come from the outside. And so when Christians were arrested, for those that were to bring stuff to them were risking their very lives. To do it. Because they could have been arrested. Because the assumption is, well, if they're bringing it, they must be a Christian too. And so we need to be here for one another and be wise. So it doesn't mean we come in here and we embrace each other at this time and slobber all over each other. It means we're wise about it. We're wise. We don't engage in very close fellowship as we're used to. We think about what we're doing. We maintain a cleanliness to the building above and beyond. It may seem ridiculous to some. But where's the wisdom? We must be wise about how we are to do these things. And if we consider all of what is being said in here, we can compare Acts 2 to John 17. You see, I quote John 17 all the time. And I quote the fact that in verse 21 it says that that all of them may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And so what does that oneness look like? Because remember, our oneness is not merely it's not a mystical reality, it's a spiritual reality, but spiritual reality does not separate us from the physical reality. Consider it this way. Even in heaven, there will be a physical reality. When we leave this place, and on that great day of glory, when there is a great resurrection, we will be given bodies, physical bodies. There will be a physical reality to heaven. A physical reality to our glory. We will not be little spirit people floating around. And so we have that here and now. We are to express the reality of our spiritual faith in the reality of our lives. And how better to do that than in a time when we truly need one another. In verse 18 of John 17, it says, "As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth," which is the word of God. "I do not pray for these alone, but I pray for those who will believe in me through their word." Christ praying for you and me. This is about you and me today. Not merely about them, but about you and me, because we believe the message that the apostles have given to us. So over 2,000 years later, he's prayed. He prayed for us 2,000 years before we ever existed. Amazing. He says, "I do not pray for these alone, but for those that will believe in me through their word, that they..." That, it's got reason, "that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." This is the time, a time we've never had before. An opportunity lays before us today. The Word of God says that in all we do, do to the glory of God. And we live in a time today that is unprecedented. And it's unprecedented for the church. We have an opportunity to show the world around us what true unity, what the true bond of peace looks like. For 5 or 6 years now, we have been praying regularly that God would find it in his good pleasure to bring about a reformation, to bring about a new era of time where he builds his church as he has never done. And who's to say that this is not why the virus has come to our country? We don't know. But the opportunity lies in front of us. And this is how the Word of God shows us to let the world know that God the Father sent His Son. Is that we may live as the church lived, even in the beginning. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know. Where jobs are going to be. We don't know how available anything will be. We have no clue. It may all end tomorrow and everything goes back to normal in a few weeks. It may be prolonged. We don't know. God does. And so there's never a time that we can see in the history of the church where anything should separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. This is not a time to go into hiding. And though we must be wise and not put ourselves intentionally into harm's way, we must at the same time be ready to embrace whatever the situation God lays at our feet. The time is now. It is now that we must find the strength of our unity. None of us has ever lived in a time such as this. What a blessing. What opportunities. God has laid this at our doorstep. Because of this time, we must find strength in the bond of peace. The personal work of Jesus Christ, the love that He has shed upon us, we may love each other in that same way. We must be here for one another more now than ever. Let us find ourselves as the early church. Let us find ourselves as selfless, not hoarding what we have, but reaching out and offering to one another our own resources, whatever they may be. If you have a need, let the body know, that we may provide what is lacking. No one should go without during this time, whether it's material resources, spiritual needs, psychological needs, prayer. I had mentioned a few weeks ago, God's providence and timing is pretty amazing. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, before we ever encountered this, I talked about how prayer is birthed through desperation. And if we begin to pray very specifically about the matters at hand, it will eliminate the fear. It can take away the worry because we are acknowledging our absolute dependence upon the one who has the power to take care of all of these things. This will be a moment-by-moment reality. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, but the reality is that we have never known what tomorrow will bring. So we have no reason to fear. So our hope today is no different than it has ever been. Our hope is the same. Our hope is in Christ. Fear not, my little sheep. For He is the shepherd, and He will tend to every need. We have even in this time of trouble, we know to trust God. And we know that in this time, even if it be a time of drought, it very well should be a time of fruitfulness Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 says this. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor will he cease from yielding fruit. My brothers and sisters, that's who we are to be. Men and women who put their trust in the Lord, who put their trust only in God and not in man. And if we are to do that, then we are to trust the Word of God. That means he has established physical realities as means for our protection, for our safety. And that's why we don't turn our noses up at our government and at our doctors. They are humans like us, and they're not going to do everything right. But God has appointed them, just like your pastor's been appointed to deliver the Word of God to you. And if you think at any level that I do not err in how I handle the life of this church, then you have a very wrong view of me. These men have been appointed by God. Let us trust God. And we will flourish. We'll be free from anxieties. And we will not cease to yield fruit. What then shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered us, delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? It is Christ Jesus who died, and furthermore, he also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long, and we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are guaranteed this reality. What shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Let us strive to be obedient to the Word of God in these times. Let us strive to be selfless in these times towards one another. Help us. Let's pray to the God to help us, that we would show ourselves as humble before the authorities that God has appointed for our good and not our demise. May we be wise in how we act as the body of Christ in these days, that the world will know that the Father has sent the Son. What is left for us to fear, according to this passage in Romans 8? Is there anything that we should fear? Nothing can separate us. Though we face death all day long, nothing can separate us. Not tribulation. If you haven't wondered, we are in a tribulation right now. These are trials that we've never experienced. Distress. I think it qualifies. Persecution may be coming. Famine, possible reality. Nakedness, peril, sword. None of these things can separate us from the love of Christ. Therefore, we have no reason for fear. But what we do have reason for, what we have reason for, and I say now more than ever, but that's not the truth. The truth is that what God is providing for us right now is to give us the reality of our desperate need for the church of the living God. He's given us a desperate need for one another. I pray that God would use this, as there is such a famine in this land of true church-going believers, unified in the bodies. There are so many rogue Christians that this may be the very time that God draws them in to the churches where they belong so that we may shore one another up, that we may be a blessing to one another, that we may encourage one another and provide every need. God does not perform magic. God uses the weakness of man. He uses the weakness of man to display his mighty power in the providential work of his sovereign hand upon his church. Do not forsake what God provides. He has provided us with one another. Let us take advantage of the great gift he's given us in this world, the body. He sacrificed himself that we can be united to him in the Father, that we may be united to each other in the fullness of that love. There is no room for arrogance in this body, especially now. There's no room for pride. There's no room for selfishness. We must show ourselves bound by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The fruit of our salvation bearing to one another in the face of a world that is panicking and is in fear. Let us now live for the glory of God and the exaltation of Jesus Christ, his Son. Let's pray. Most glorious God and Father, how weak we are. Father, there is nothing that comes into this world and comes into our grasp that does not have a purpose. And Father, it is so easy to find anxiety and fear in these times of trouble. But as your word says, to seek you in the time of trouble, and you will deliver us. Father, let us understand that you delivering us may not mean that we're delivered from the times, but that we're delivered into your hand, and that we are delivered from the fear of the trouble. That we are delivered from those things, Father, that take us away from you. So, Father, we pray today that you would strengthen us, that your word would have an effect upon us like it has never had. Father, I plead with you this very hour. Unite us in a way that we have never experienced before. These are new days, new times. Father, let us experience things in this body. Father, that is new to us. Let this new world we live in give us a new sense of the strength of your church and the love that you give us in it. Father, I praise you this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your goodness, O God. Overwhelm us with your beauty and a sense of peace at all times. Strengthen us, Father. It is in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.